Here we go. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of Nerds Polish Turds. How are y'all doing today?
Oh, I'm sorry. Oh, my
God. That's a heck of a
That's
start.
That's what that movie did to me. Not gonna lie.
Yeah. I'm falling asleep.
Yeah, we are.
I should say what movie it is.
Yeah.
Dark Phoenix.
Yeah, Dark Phoenix. Thank you, Tanner. Just rip that band-aid off right there. Yeah, we just watched X-Men Dark Phoenix, the final entry in the X-Men movie franchise. Well, not technically, if you count New
Mutants.
But the final movie with an X-Men title in that franchise. But yeah, fresh off that cinematic endeavor, and we're going to talk about today here on Nerds Polish Turds. In case this is your first episode, my name is Avery Polinori. I am one of your hosts, and joining me today over Zoom, safely at a social distance, we have Tanner.
Yep.
That's Tanner.
Hi, I'm Tanner.
And our board other host, Mason, is with us here today, too. Say hi, Mason.
What up?
Mason's happy because the Steelers won. The Steelers, yeah. Woo! Mason's all for the Pittsburgh sports. All right. So, yeah. So, if you haven't listened to Nerds Polish Turds yet, basically the concept is that we watch movies that are mostly not well-received. That fall into things that nerds love, like superhero comic book movies, sci-fi, fantasy, anything in that ballpark. And then we talk about what we disliked about it, and then we talk about how we could make it better if we had the time, money, and power that these people have in Hollywood, which we don't, which is why we're just a bunch of nerds polishing turds. It's still going to be a turd in the end. But anyway, so the first part of the podcast is the crap yap. Oh, actually, that's not the first part. The first part, I'm going to go ahead and do a recap fresh after watching the movie X-Men Dark Phoenix.
Recrap.
Gosh, it's been so long since we recorded our last episode. I forget everything that we even involved with this. Anyway, so X-Men Dark Phoenix. Let me open up the plot here. Make sure I don't get it mixed up here. I'll edit this part out. Okay. So here is the summary of X-Men Dark Phoenix. The discovery of a cure for mutations leads to a turning point for mutants. Oh, wait, never mind. That's The Last Stand, a wrong movie.
I was like, wait, what?
But they both start out with...
I totally meant to do
was
that.
Was Xavier getting Jean?
It does start out with that. Nah. Okay, so anyway, just kidding. Real plot of Dark Phoenix. So the movie opens with a young Jean Grey in her car with her family. They're having a nice Sunday stroll. And then Jean's mind powers go berserk trying to control the radio. And her parents keep being like, what's happening? And she's like, I don't know. I'm just a kid. And then all of a sudden, boom, their car collides with another car. Jean is the only one not hurt in the wreck. And then she's found in the hospital by one Charles Xavier, who, if you've never seen an X-Men movie, you need to watch them, watch some of them at least. Charles Xavier is the telepathic head professor of the Xavier Institute and leader of the superhero team known as the X-Men. Charles goes and he tells Jean that he can help her, and she goes along with him. And then we flash forward several decades, I think, to the 90s, and the X-Men are now, instead of the typically hated group, like mutants are usually in this world, they are a team of superheroes, which is what we like to see, all the superhero fans. Charles is on a direct line with the president, and when there's an accident in space with these astronauts, Charles sends all the X-Men up to space to go and rescue them. And the team includes Mystique, played by the ever-so-enthusiastic Jennifer Lawrence. Hank McCoy
She loves his movies.
Oh, yeah. She loves wearing all that blue makeup. You can tell because it gets more and more uninvolved as it goes by. The scientific-minded yet ape-like reflexes mutant Beast slash Hank McCoy. Also, another enthusiastic performance by actor. I don't remember his name, but I know that he and Jennifer Lawrence dated, so maybe that's why he wasn't so happy to be there. A little X-Men tea, boys and girls. Then we also have Quicksilver slash Peter Maximoff, who, even though it doesn't matter at all in this movie, he is the son of Magneto, and he has super speed.
Nicholas Holt.
Yeah, that's Hank McCoy. And then we also have Scott Summers, who can shoot big laser beams out of his eyes. And then we have Nightcrawler, who is a blue demon-looking German kid who can teleport. Storm, who's very silent in the background but has white hair and can control the weather, even in space. And finally, we have our eponymous Jean Grey, who does not get her own code name because she's just too cool for that, apparently. So they get to space. There's this big solar flare that apparently has messed up the space shuttle, but it's not really a solar flare, but they're not really sure what it is. Nightcrawler and Quicksilver end up using their powers to rescue all the astronauts, and they find out there's one more. Nightcrawler takes Jean to the ship to rescue him, or her, and then Nightcrawler gets the astronaut out, and Jean's supposed to hold the ship together. Ship, just want to just emphasize that I said ship there. And then the solar flare, or whatever it is, goes berserk, and then all of the energy gets absorbed into Jean's body, and then somehow she survives it. They bring her back down to Earth. Her powers are off the chart. She's feeling great. All the students at the X-Mansion are like, wow, Jean, you're a hero, blah, 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 blah. They have a party. And then something triggers Jean when Scott tells her that the kids are calling her Phoenix now. So then all the kids get knocked out when Jean is like, no, stop it. And then she loses control. She blasts everyone over. And she realizes that something's not right. So she goes and she like lays down in bed, I guess. And then Charles and Mystique and Beast are all in the Cerebro, which is Charles' big machine for reading minds and tracking down people all over the world. He tries to get inside Jean's mind because with whatever's enhancing her powers, he can't do that. And then he realizes that all these mental blocks that he put in her mind when she was a kid to keep her from losing control, they're all coming down. And she realizes that while her mom died, Charles tricked her into thinking that her dad was dead also, but her dad is still alive. So she boots Charles out of her head. She goes to find her father. Mystique criticizes Charles for his decision to basically gaslight Jean into thinking that her parents were dead while they were alive. And he's like, well, I was just trying to protect her, all that stuff. So then Jean goes, she meets her father. Her father basically ends up confessing that he didn't want her and willingly gave her away to Charles. And Jean's obviously upset by this. The X-Men show up. Mystique tries to calm her down. Jean ends up accidentally killing Mystique and then basically, I don't know, putting Quicksilver in a coma somehow. Everyone's like, what do we do now? Jean leaves the scene. She's like, oh, crap, I'm losing control. Everyone hates me. And blah, blah, blah. The X-Men regroup. They have a funeral for Mystique. And then Jean goes to find Eric Lencher slash Magneto, who is one of the original founders of the X-Men team, along with Charles, Mystique, and Beast. Eric, who used to be the biggest, champion of Revolution for mutant kind, kind of has settled down now, and he has his own group that he's kind of looking after. They have their own land and all that, so he's like, we just want to keep the peace. Jean shows up there, and she's like, teach me how to not hurt people anymore. And then some government agents show up. They try to take Jean down, and Jean tries to take them down. And then at the same time, Magneto's trying to stop her from hurting these guys. And then she ends up she doesn't lose control, but she tries to hurt them. Eric's like, hey, you need to leave. So she leaves. And then, oh my gosh, there's so many things that happen in this movie in such a short amount of time.
So pointless, most of it.
Yeah. So she leaves again. And then Beast slash Hank decides that Charles is to blame for all this. And he also blames Jean for Mystique's death because, in case you weren't aware, Hank had a thing for Raven slash Mystique. So he's all flustered and angry. So he goes to recruit Magneto to help him track down Jean and kill her. And at the same time, well, I forgot to fit these in because they didn't really fit it before. There are these shape-shifting, super powerful aliens that are trying to find Jean. And they find her, and they're like, hey, you got this big superpower that can destroy worlds and create worlds, so we want you to do that and everything. And she's like, oh, okay, cool. So they have her now, and then Charles and Scott and Storm and Nightcrawler, they all get together and they're like, we got to protect Jean because we know that Beast and Magneto and all those other mutants are going to try to kill her. So they go and they try to stop her. Then there's a big mutant fight. And then Jean attacks both Magneto and then Charles. And then Charles is like, hey, Jean, look inside my head. You can see how much I love you. And then she sees that and she's like, oh, Charles, I'm sorry for hurting you. And then the alien woman tries to take the power from from Jean. She takes a little bit of Jean's power, and then Scott knocks out the alien with his laser blast. And then they all get captured by the MCU. And then they reboot it, and now it's Disney's X-Men. I'm just kidding. So
better than this. Huzzah!
So the MCU, which does not stand for the Marvel Cinematic Universe, but it might as well, now have all these mutants captured on a train, and then the aliens go to attack the train and get Jean so they can get the rest of the power inside of her. And then basically Charles and Scott convince Hank and Eric that Raven would not have wanted them to kill Jean, but to protect her. So they decide to protect her because it's what Raven slash Mystique would have wanted. So then they fight all these aliens, and then Jean realizes after waking up from her knockout, whatever you want to call it, she realizes that Charles was just trying to give her a family. So she decides to protect her family. And she does that, and she kills all the aliens and then explodes into a fiery phoenix-looking figure in the sky. And the movie ends with now the X-Mansion being renamed the Jean Grey School for Gifted Youngsters. Hank is now the headmaster, it seems, at the school. And Charles has left them, and he's met by Eric at a cafe where they play one last game of chess. Eric offers to take Charles in, and it's alluded to the fact that that might happen. And then we see what looks like a fiery phoenix flying through the sky. End of movie, and that's the last we'll see of this cast of X-Men. The end.
Yay! Yay!
That's a lot of different names and a lot of things that happened, and
not really. If you really think about it, not a lot happened.
I mean, a lot happened, like circumstances.
Cheese puffs. They just puffed it all up.
They say it's like cheese puffs.
Yeah, they just like puff it up with garbage that doesn't need to be there.
Yeah. Yeah. So. Anyway, that's our last X-Men movie produced wholly by Fox, for better or worse. For better or worse, there were lots of highlights and lots of moments like this movie. But anyway, so we're gonna take a quick break because that was a lot to take out of me. So I'm gonna get something to drink, and then we will be right back. And we are back. So that was the recap. And now we're going to get into the crap yap, where we talk about all our problems with Dark Phoenix. So who would like to go first? Because I took some notes, but whoever's ready, whoever's feeling the most passionate. Mason?
I'm not feeling passionate about this movie, but I can go first. Are okay.
You, okay, go ahead.
I have was this. Number one, the title was just, we're going to start with that, because I know that when this first came out, people were just like, didn't like the title, just because it said, if you didn't know, it said Dark Phoenix, and then the X was like the X-Men logo, so it didn't even have X-Men in it. So if you're kind of newer, or, you know, you're not really keeping up with X-Men movies, you might not have even really known right off the bat that you had a movie coming out.
But it does, I think they changed it, and now it is X-Men Dark Phoenix.
Was it really? I thought it was...
I guess it's for, like, home video branding.
Maybe. Let's...
Oh. Alright. Anyway, that's small. No one cares about that as much. Yeah. But the very opening was just, I don't know, just seemed weird. Like, we pan to this little girl, and I don't know what to say about the beginning, but I just wasn't feeling it. Actually, what was the last movie that came before this? Was that
Apocalypse?
Okay, yeah, that's what I thought. I don't know, I guess I just feel like coming from Apocalypse to this movie, that's kind of a weird thing to show first, I should say. Okay, but now my bigger ones is one of my biggest problems with this movie is the bad guys of this villain, what they frame the bad guys in at the final battle. There is absolutely like no information on these people. They kind of just show up and they have like the most vanilla and basic motives ever. You know,
vanilla.
Superhero has what I want. I want it to destroy. Because they wanted to destroy. They didn't want to create.
They want it that way.
They want it that way. So that was the villains were.
That way. Sorry.
Villains were bad. The Phoenix Force thing, I don't even really think we got to see its full power in Jean Grey, not until the very end, kind of.
We saw a little holographic display or something.
Yeah. Also, I think they kind of took the... Well, we all know that Jennifer Lawrence really didn't want to continue doing these movies. That's why they killed her off.
Yeah.
Her acting and the makeup and everything that they did for her, you could just tell... She could care less if she was. She could have cared less. So that didn't help the movie, but they sidelined probably one of the coolest characters, at least scene wise, with Quicksilver. He was just completely like wiped out after that fight at the house.
Yeah.
Didn't they show him at the very end, and then that was it?
Yeah. He said no running in the halls or something like that.
Yeah. You take away one of the coolest characters. I mean, honestly, the only character that I kind of liked in this movie was Magneto. Everybody else was just eh.
Yeah.
And just the acting in general just felt lazy. Like, no one was really giving it a good performance, or they could have cared less. Personally.
Yeah.
Felt flat in a lot of places where it was supposed to be this very intense, dramatic moment, and it just wasn't. Like, even with Mystique dying, that just felt... I didn't feel sad at all, and that was supposed to be, you know, an emotional, like, gut punch, and I was just like, okay, she's gone now. We killed a good guy to show that the Phoenix Force is bad inside of Jean. That's basically what they were trying to do there, to get some kind of shock reaction, I feel like. And
they fridged her.
Yeah. They what?
They fridged her.
They fridged her.
Yeah.
They did. But yeah, those were the big ones. Those were definitely the big ones. I will say, the fight scene up until the random blonde lady showed up, I thought it was kind of cool. Certain,
like, on the train?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought cool when you saw Magneto and his fighting abilities was kind of cool. Even the... And then Nightcrawler and the dude with the dreadlocks. Seeing those three fight was cool, but everybody else was just kind of boring to watch them ever. If they engaged in some kind of fighting, it was just not good.
Yeah. I think they did, like, do some cool stuff in general with, like, how they use their powers in combat.
Yeah.
But, you know, that doesn't make the movie better in the end. That's like, you got some cool moments for maybe like a montage video, but that's it, you know?
Yeah. Oh, also, I forgot, but Nightcrawler was also a good addition. He was good.
Yeah. Yeah.
For what he was used as.
Agreed. I also agree with what you said about the actors, like, not really giving a very strong performance. It seemed like some of the central cast, like the ones that have been there the whole time, are kind of bored with this movie. Mm-hmm. But yeah, which is a shame.
Jennifer Lawrence, because we already knew that one. We knew she wanted out. But even like Beast, and even Charles and Scott, just sometimes wasn't there.
Yeah. Which, you know, when you don't have a real strong, interesting script, like, there's not much you can really do with that and everything. But, yeah. Tanner, did you want to bounce off of any of those things, or?
Yeah, I mean, I think I pretty agree with most things. I think my biggest problem is just the tone of the movie. It's just weird.
Yeah.
Like, it's... I don't know.
Like, how would you describe its tone?
I don't know. Like, serious, but not in a good way.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know. Like the Dark Knight is kind of a serious movie.
Done right.
Tone. But done right, you know? But it's, like, at least enjoyable.
Yeah.
It's, like, they tried to go for some sort of serious tone, but it just didn't land.
Right.
It wasn't, like, it didn't land in an entertaining way, I guess, is the best way to describe that.
That makes sense. Have you two seen...
Off.
Yeah. Have you seen Logan?
Yeah. See, that's really good.
Yeah.
That's serious in a good way.
Right. I think it's because, like, Wolverine, like, that character works for that story. But then, like, all the other X-Men movies, especially with this cast, like, have had their serious moments and their melodrama and everything, but they also had a lot of fun moments too, to balance all that. And this really didn't have that as much, which their one character that kind of did that, Quicksilver, was sidelined right at the beginning. So that doesn't help for sure.
Also, an interesting way that I'll get into this later, but something I could have done, the whole balance between Mystique and Charles about how he handled Jean's past could have been something interesting to explore, but it was honestly just thrown to the side, obviously, when she died. But Beast even kind of tried to pick it up after a while, but then again, it was just kind of like Charles just like blew past it and was never really brought up again. But it was something that could have legitimately been interesting to see play out.
Yeah, I mean, he did kind of on the train. He's like, "I'm the villain. You're right." And then, like, we see the aftermath of that with him leaving the school and everything. But I don't know.
Yeah, right. It was just kind of brought up in the end again. Like, if it was a more of a central theme throughout, I think you would have had maybe a more cohesive story.
Yeah.
Or like some emotional strings that were attached that actually made it work.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. They are interesting concepts, and they could have worked really well. But it's just like, I don't know. It's all rushed, all very first drafty. But yeah, I almost wonder if this would have worked better as like a two-parter movie.
Probably not.
No.
No. I mean, would it have been better? Yes. Would it have been good though? No.
No. I don't know. I feel like almost like the X-Men, instead of like having movies trying to tell like their different stories, should have like some sort of long form storytelling, like a TV series. You know?
Yeah.
Like that's why people like the cartoons better for the most part, is because like they're able to actually dig into the characters and like have the arc make sense and not have to rush all the details and all that. Plus that killer theme song with the 90s animated one. Yeah. Tanner, did you have anything else you wanted to add with your crappy app?
Not really.
Okay. Yeah, I just took some specific crappy app notes. These are some nitpicky things for sure, but they're still things that add up. Some of these are like also problems with the larger X-Men franchise as a whole, and not just like this movie in particular. So one of those things is like Beast and Mystique keep like showing or pretending that they're humans or whatever, or regular humans, and hiding their blue skin all the time. And like we all know, it's just because the actors don't really want to be in that makeup unless they have to. And like it just doesn't make sense for the story, you know, or their characters anymore, because they've both moved past that in a way. So that kind of annoys me. Also the fact that they keep skipping decades, but they obviously aren't aging like in decades, which, you know, that's like, and the film by itself, that's not really a bad thing, but when you put all these films together and try to like get some sense of like what the world is like, it just, I don't know,
it's bad in the end. It's,
yeah, I think
it doesn't help the franchise.
A skip to the 90s, like it just didn't add anything.
Yeah.
Come around, and like they didn't even really play around with it either, like they did with Apocalypse versus and Days of Future Past. Like, yeah, it felt like the 70s, it felt like the 80s.
Yeah,
the only thing that made it the 90s was that they still had square TVs
and don't have cell phones.
Yeah.
And then, like, I had some questions as to why, like, not all the characters needed space helmets when they were going to rescue the astronauts.
That's true, Quicksilver didn't.
And then, like, at one point, Kurt randomly gave himself one, but he didn't have Jean have one. I don't know.
Well, I mean, Jean, she's just a super powerful being, so why does she need one?
She can keep the oxygen in her body.
She's an airbender, that's why.
She's an airbender.
It connects with our last podcast.
I think she's pretty much an everything bender.
That crossover Marvel and Avatar, that could be good.
That'd be baller, for sure.
Marvel, are you listening?
We have a way for you to get white actors in Avatar.
Wait, I got a better one.
Whether people want them or not.
For money, this is a cash grab waiting to happen. Let's get it done.
Yeah. I also did not like that They copied some story beats, obviously, from The Last Stand, which, you know, they're both adapting the Dark Phoenix storyline, so that's bound to happen. But we have the same writer, one of the writers from The Last Stand was also the writer and director of this movie. And you would think, like, he would try his best to avoid, like, all those similarities, but he literally, like, line for line, copied and pasted something from X-Men The Last Stand into this movie when Charles is saying, like, she's all desire and rage and all that. And like also, that is from The Last Stand. What's that?
When she dispatches of the aliens, it's literally like that weird disintegration thing that happened in The Last Stand too.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't mind that as much because, like, that's not really copying the story. And she didn't rely on that the whole movie, but I just thought, like, it was a little visual. Yeah. Which I get it. You want to call back to other movies, but
that one didn't even do that great either.
Yeah, why would you want to call back to the one that you literally erased from the timeline?
I mean, granted, it's better than this one, but that's not a high mark to hit.
You think The Last Stand's better than this one?
I would watch The Last Stand.
Oh, me too.
Every single time over Dark Phoenix.
Same.
I think I would too, because there's, like, just the actors are all better in that movie.
I love Kelsey Grammer as Beast.
Like, all very iconic versions of those characters in that movie, for sure.
Wolverine and Hugh Jackman as Wolverine, so that already elevates it.
Yeah.
Both of Charles and Magneto were not a problem in, like, the newer ones, like, since they got, like, recast. But the old Charles and Magneto were still better, but I'm not saying these ones aren't good.
No.
I'm saying still, like, you know, Sir Patrick Stewart and Ian, I'm blanking.
McKellen.
Yeah, they were just classic.
Of course. Very Shakespearean performances that they give in that, too. Going back to what you were saying about, like, the movie not being fun, and Tanner, what you're saying about, like, the tone, I don't like that they just, like, got Peter, like, knocked out of the movie. Like, he didn't even have, like, one fun scene like he has in the other ones. Like, he usually gets one cool Quicksilver moment.
Yeah, like, when he basically got knocked out, you're thinking to yourself, oh, here's the cool Quicksilver scene coming, and then, no, the platforms he was going to use to step on just get, like, pulled out from underneath his legs, and he goes tumbling, like, super far away, and then that was the last time you really saw
him. Which I appreciate when movies defy my expectations, but if you're going to not fulfill my expectations, you need to give me something better, you know, not just take it away and replace it with something meh. And then, like, in general, like Mason, you said about the Dark Phoenix power, like, we don't really see a lot of it, but we're told, like, a lot of that. And, like, just a general rule of thumb for storytelling, you never want to, like, rely on telling for your story. You want to show things in action and in order to get that across. And that's just a stronger story in general when you have that.
I didn't really see the full effects of her power, even in the end when she was utilized. And it was just like, we know it's supposed to be powerful because we were told, but we don't really see the full extent.
Yeah. Even, like, some, I don't know, like a flashback or something could have been better than just, like, her giving her little PowerPoint display to her or whatever. And then the same thing with, like, Jean's relationship with all of them. We don't really get to see that in action very much. And I think that's because, like, it wasn't a huge focus of the movie before this. So then, like, we don't really feel much when they lose that. And I think if that was, like, a bigger focus of the film, if they just showed us that instead of, like, saying, like, oh, Jean's family, we're family, all that. Like, show us how you're a family. Show us how you interact with each other and take care of each other and live your regular life. That's why I think, like, it would be better as, like, a series or something, personally. but which maybe they could do when Marvel owns them, they could do like a Disney Plus series.
I just feel like they should never try and do the Dark Phoenix again. I'm over it.
Give it.
It's like Spider-Man's origin story. They just gotta realize now we've seen it enough. We don't really need it.
Yeah. All right. But yeah, that's all my crap that I gotta say about it. You guys have any more crap to yap? Yeah.
Boom. There's the other soundbite. The crap that's been yapped.
All right. Then we are going to take another short break, and we will be right back. We are back, and we're getting pitchy, as Mason so lovely put it earlier. We are here for the Pitch Fest, where we talk about how we would polish this turd. Okay, so is anyone ready? Does anyone have a pitch ready?
I'm a slight pitch.
All right, Tanner, let's hear your slight pitch.
All right. I think, I would give the movie fairly similar, just because it's so rough, I don't know what to do with it. But I think the biggest things I would change would be, one, I think the Phoenix Force needs to, take complete control. Like, Jean just needs to be gone. So it's like, I'm hurting people. Like, she's just gone. It's just the Phoenix Force. That's all there is. Because that way, and then it seems like she'd actually be, they actually need to stop her. Like, the stakes be a little bit higher because we don't know what's going to happen because it's not Jean anymore. And then, obviously, we've talked about Quicksilver getting sidelined, I would not sideline him.
Yes.
I would give him a bigger role. Yes. That's what they've... Cause I feel like they were trying to build up to that as the series progressed. Cause he's just kind of a cameo character in Days of Future Past. And then they brought him in and did a little more with him in Apocalypse.
Especially because he's part really of the team. Cool. And Marvel did him dirty, so...
Yeah.
Yep.
And, the MCU version of that character would... killed in the movie. Only movie.
Yeah, they did him dirty. He was interesting, and they're just
bye.
Bye, Felicia.
Fox is using him, so let's not. And Fox is like, let's not use him either.
Yep. He's too cool. Get him out of here.
So I'd do that, but I remember reading some stuff that the train scene kind of wasn't originally planned.
Mm-hmm.
The final battle, I think, was supposed to be a big city or space fight. I can't remember.
Yeah, I think.
But Captain Marvel happened, and
yeah,
it was kind of a space fight. So they're let's not do that.
Yeah, they already have the shape shifting aliens too, so that's one similarity for sure.
Yeah. Well, they should have dropped that, other than the
space. So I think I would have changed the final fight, and especially it would definitely need to be changed if Gene was, if Gene was gone, it's just the Phoenix Force.
Yeah. Then you have to have everyone using their full power.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it also did definitely seem like all of them, all their powers were nerfed in the end.
Yeah. And it would have killed her parents. I actually killed both her parents. Just because it didn't add much for that story, but I think for the one where it's just the Phoenix Force taking control, it doesn't matter.
I think to show that Jean was all the way gone, maybe you off the father then.
Yeah, that's true.
To show how, number one, to show how powerful it is, maybe that whole little town just gets completely decimated.
Yeah.
And that would be, number one, show how powerful the Phoenix Force really is, that this is not Jean Grey at all, and that she's or whatever you want to call the Phoenix Force, is a huge threat that definitely needs to be dealt with, or who knows what's going to happen.
Yeah, for sure. Is it, Tanner, is that your pitch then?
That's my pitch.
All right.
Kind of, not a lot, but...
Hey, I'd watch it.
Not a lot to work with either.
Sounds better than what we got. So.
At least it sounds like it would be fun, because you get some cosmic battles and... And, if you're going to go out of the X-Men franchise, you got to go out with a bang, Endgame style.
Yeah.
Oh, I just...
I'm not over that. Let's be real. Nothing's been the same since, spoiler alert, since Tony died.
Yeah. Part of that's because we haven't gotten anything, really, since he died. We got Spider-Man.
I'm just talking the world. the world's gone to hell in a handbasket since that happened. Like, come on, Marvel! Just kidding.
Are you canonically blaming Marvel for the coronavirus?
They killed Tony. He couldn't protect us.
That was the catalyst. He couldn't protect us.
You've heard it here, folks. You've heard it here, folks. Marvel Studios and Disney killed Iron Man, who was our last chance of fighting the coronavirus.
Putting the tinfoil hat on, baby.
They've doomed us all. We wouldn't need a mask if we had a suit of armor around the world.
Yes, that's great. All right, cool. Well, podcast over because we're not going to top that. We just peaked, boy.
No, we're not done yet.
All right.
What's your pitch? Do you have a pitch, or I can go first?
I guess I can go. I was just going to kind of build off Tanner's. I mean, I kind of did with the whole leveling that small little, like, I don't know, cul-de-sac, I guess.
It's called a sack.
Just a sack.
It's a sack of people and houses.
But I like the idea of just Gene is straight up gone. Like, it's not Gene. Maybe she's somewhere in there. Because obviously at the end, or you'd have to, okay, if Jennifer Lawrence, I'm going to make a pitch based off this. If she really honestly wanted to be done with this movie, I think she then would be the one to make the sacrifice somehow. I don't know how she would make the sacrifice, but she would be the one to make the sacrifice and she would somehow, however it would go, she would be the one that would destroy the Phoenix Force, take it out, but it would take her with her. So number one, it gives her a meaningful death instead of just getting blown back onto like a set of spikes.
Mm.
It would give her a meaningful death, like a heartfelt one. Then the end of the movie could be them, you know, mourning both of them.
Yeah.
To give like an actual goodbye. Also, if, I mean, I think that would be the way to go with if we're basing this off Jennifer Lawrence still wanting out of these movies.
Yeah.
That would be a good way to take her out. I kind of like the train scene up until the shape-shifting aliens come up. I think those should just be gone from the movie entirely, though. So that would kind of mean the train scene wouldn't really happen. And I guess the only part I'm trying to figure out how we could get to where a final battle would happen. Cause I don't know if I'm really feeling a space battle. I don't really know. It seems kind of a little, cause then you kind of neutralize someone like Quicksilver. Like, how is he going to be that effective in space?
Well, if you're like on a different planet, maybe.
Different planet. Yeah, that's true. Well, maybe it is kind of. Maybe it's in the ruins of that city that she decimated.
Mm.
That could kind of be cool. And
I don't think that you risk getting too close to Apocalypse's fight, though.
That's true.
Dark Side of the Moon, the Transformers. They fight the Transformers.
That's a lot more hate than it should. I kind of like that.
I like that movie a lot.
That's actually my favorite of the original Transformers trilogy, but anyway, so we got a final battle, probably in some decimated city or planet.
Or we just blow up the X-Men mansion again and have it there. Bring it full circle.
If we're going to do what we did before, we're going to do everything that we did before.
Yeah, okay.
Well, if we do everything, let's do Alcatraz then.
Yeah, and let's have Magneto bring a bridge and connect it.
He drops a bridge and Alcatraz on the X Mansion.
Now this is rehashing.
which you know what? Speaking, oh no, okay, never mind. He's fighting the Phoenix Force. So I think like when he's trying to like the helicopter,
yeah,
he's trying to like keep it. I'm like, you know, he should have any problem lifting that because he lifted a whole freaking stadium in Days of Future Past. But he was fighting the Phoenix Force.
Yeah. There's some resistance there. Yeah.
His facial expressions when he was going, like, holding that, like, helicopter. Oh, my God. Get in!
think that was like the only comedic moment in the whole movie. It was like when he just kind of like flew him off and like it just flew away.
Yeah.
They're not rebounding from that. You know that, right?
He's like.
The pilots over here, like, what am I supposed to do now, guys?
The director says, all right, everyone do your worst impression of Hugh Jackman's Wolverine. Eric Lenscher. Ah! Yeah. The most effort they put into their acting in the movie. But yeah. So how would it... Do you have an ending for this big battle?
Like I said, Mystique probably sacrifices herself to rid the world of this Phoenix Force, the evil Phoenix Force.
Yeah.
And then they just kind of mourn the death of Jean and Mystique at the end.
There we go. Boom. And they move on to fight another day. All right. So I actually this time would not like try to retool the movie. Like I would take maybe some elements from that, but I would actually do an entirely different story altogether. So I would actually, instead of adapting the Dark Phoenix storyline, I would partially adapt the Avengers versus X-Men storyline, which what happens in that is the mutants are kind of at their last rope, and they know that the Phoenix Force is coming, this big cosmic entity. And Scott Summers, as the leader of this new wave of X-Men, decides that they need the Phoenix Force to basically create a new future for the mutants and everything. So I think he would, in my version, Scott would actually be encouraging Jean to take on this power because he knows what she's capable of, and he thinks that they can do a lot of good with this. But Charles, being the one who's just trying to keep them at bay, wants to keep the peace and everything, is like, no, you can't do that. You won't be able to handle the power. So then it causes a rift between the X-Men. So, which in the comic book, it was a rift between the Avengers and the X-Men, but we just have two different versions of the X-Men. One led by Scott Summers, and the other led by Xavier, and also including Wolverine in a side role, because we can't have Hugh Jackman being the main character in this. But then I would also bring back the element that Charles was like manipulating Jean. And I would extend that to the whole team, where they all had stuff in their past that Charles was manipulating. So what happens in Avengers versus X-Men is that the Phoenix Force ends up possessing 5 different X-Men. And then they all have these powers, including Scott now. And so it's all dispersed, and they don't really lose control, but it's slowly eating away at who they are as people. So in my film, I would have them try to use the Phoenix Force power to open a gateway to a new world for the mutants, because they've just kind of given up on this world. But in the process of doing that, they might destroy this one. So that's why Charles is like still trying to fight them and everything. And then at the end of the film, Charles ends up having to realize that he couldn't protect them, but now he has to protect the world, and he ends up killing all the X-Men. And then we tie into the beginning of Logan, where we don't know what happened to the X-Men, but we know Charles did something and lost control of his powers, possibly. And that's why they're all gone. So it's a very downer ending, but it's epic. It's over the top.
Yeah,
and like it connects to Logan, which is the real finale to the X-Men franchise in my mind and in my heart. So yeah,
because it was actually a good movie. So
yeah,
yes,
not a good. Sorry, it wasn't good. It was great.
One of the best.
I think I brought back the original cast for that.
Yes, yeah. For my pitch, I would either age up all the new cast members or bring back the original cast, because then it really is like an ultimate ending to the X-Men franchise if you have the original cast back.
I just liked most of the original cast better.
Yeah.
There is, I mean, some of them were, like, Nightcrawler didn't get enough spotlight still, in my opinion, so either or for him wouldn't have been that bad.
Yeah.
But everybody else, the old Scott Summers, the old Charles, the old Magneto, the old Jean Grey, the old Beast, all of those were better. They were just better.
Yeah. But yeah, so also this film would possibly be used as a way to connect it to the MCU, where they're trying to open a gateway to another world, and that world could be the MCU. So then there's maybe some allusion to that causing mutations in the Marvel universe. So we could, you know, create everything full circle. I don't know if it would be a better film, but at least it would feel like there's a reason for it to exist, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, the nice thing is that, like, a story like X-Men vs. Avengers, like, it could still happen in the MCU down the road.
That's true.
So, like, this, like, that story could happen still and actually have the Avengers, whatever the current iteration is.
Yeah.
In, like, 10 years.
That is a very fun comic to read, too. And, like, they had some tie-ins that were basically, like Pokemon battles with X-Men versus Avengers characters, where they would have like their power stats and everything, and it would be like, who's gonna win this one? And they were fun comics to read for sure. And then you have like the core storyline happening with the tension between like Captain America and Wolverine and Scott Summers and Xavier, a little bit of Magneto thrown in there. So a lot of drama going on there. Oh, and between Aurora/Storm and Black Panther, because at one point in the Marvel comics, T'Challa and Aurora were married, and Storm, because of that, was queen of Wakanda, but then she kind of shows that her allegiance is more with the mutants than with Wakanda in the X-Men versus Avengers storyline, which I would also like to acknowledge, given that the recent passing of Chadwick Boseman, RIP, rest in power to one of the real life heroes of the Marvel Universe as well, who did a lot to connect with kids, especially with the Black Panther film. So unfortunately, unless they would recast his character, which I hope they don't do that, but we want to be able to see him and Storm together.
Better not. I would be so mad if they did.
No. It would be cool to see Storm, like, in a Black Panther movie, though.
It would be.
Yeah, they got their work cut out for them.
Yeah.
There's not really a good way to do it.
Yeah. We could still have, like, some sort of connection with Shuri and Storm.
I think that's the most likely scenario.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Shuri. I just don't know how you write out the Black Panther, like, he was just made king, basically.
Yeah. Well, the Mason and I were talking about this the other day, but like the fact that he is like kind of CGI most of the time, or like just a person like in a mask, like you could have anyone playing him, and like, I don't know. I think you could have him have a noble sacrifice that it would have to be at the beginning of the movie. As long as the audience knows going in, like, this is going to be a shorty Black Panther movie and not like us trying to have a whole movie where we recreate Chadwick Boseman, you know, which is part of the weird thing of Rise of Skywalker that they did with Princess Leia. Yeah. Like they took a long time to send her off when they should have just done it right away, you know? But yeah. Yeah, it will be interesting to see how they do that going forward. But we would like to also, I think, as a team, offer our thoughts and prayers to the family of Chadwick Boseman and his friends who work with him, and to anyone that is facing his struggle that he had with colon cancer, and anyone that is facing that unbeknownst to the people around them, which is kind of what he went through too. But yeah, sorry, that's kind of a somber note to end our X-Men discussion on. But before we send off, I think we should talk about some of our favorite moments of the X-Men film franchise now that it's basically over. So
some of our favorite.
Yeah.
Basically all of X2.
All of X2. Favorite moment.
Okay, especially I'll give it especially when they assaulted the mansion. I thought that was really cool. Seeing them all like gather up the kids, getting them to safety, and the whole thing with Wolverine and Stryker.
Yep.
I thought that was probably all time favorite.
Nice. Yeah. I'd say my favorite, like the first one that comes to my head, or like the one that sticks with me the most, is the last scene that we see Hugh Jackman's Wolverine in, and him with his daughter, Laura, kind of just puts a nice book note on the end of the franchise, and he tells her, like, don't be what they made you to be. And I think that's just such a powerful message, especially for, like, people that are oppressed, which, you know, I am privileged enough where I haven't had to deal with any sort of oppression like people do in this world, or like the mutants do in the X-Men films. But I think that's something that's really powerful. Like, no matter what abuse you're facing, like, you can be better, and you can show the world a better way to live while still fighting, you know? So I think that's a powerful way to, like, just bring the X-Men storyline to a close, for sure. Yeah, Tanner, what are your favorite moments or moment?
I mean, yeah, all of X2, but I think after that, I have to say, I really, this Days of Future Past, that was like the first one I actually, X-Men film I saw in theaters.
Oh, okay.
So it was a fun experience to see it in theaters, and I just kind of like the bridging of generations a little bit there that they did.
Yes.
Just,
that was pretty cool.
Especially,
it's good to bring back the old X-Men and kind of still work with their younger versions.
Yeah, yeah. When like both versions of Charles met inside Logan's mind and everything.
Yeah,
that was cool. But yeah,
and all the Quicksilver scenes, slow motion ones, but especially the mansion blowing up one was.
It's an apocalypse. But yeah.
Yes. Yeah, that if they could have even like given him some nice music to run along to before he got knocked out, it would have been something.
Something, man.
Give him a nice 90s hit, and then we can call it a day. Oh, yeah.
Man.
Yeah. Yep. So the X-Men have had many highs and probably a little more lows than we would have liked. The Marvel Cinematic Universe will eventually be doing something with the mutants and X-Men characters. May see them on Disney Plus. You may see them pop up possibly in the world of Wakanda and Black Panther. We may see them.
WandaVision before we know it.
WandaVision. Wanda is sometimes a mutant in the comics. Maybe Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness. Who knows? The world is wide open with possibilities, as is everything right now. And there is still one more X-Men related movie in theaters that you can see right now. It's one of the only movies you can really see in theaters. Apparently it's not getting good reviews, but yeah. If you decide to go to a movie theater, always be safe, be aware of the people around you, and make sure it's for an actual good movie. Probably go see Tenet if you're going to go see a movie in theaters. All right. Any words of wisdom that you guys would like to send off to our fellow nerds out there?
No.
Okay. All right. Yeah. All right. Oh, we always do this too. Do you guys have anything that you're watching, playing, or reading that you want to plug right now?
Yeah, dude, always. You know it. Destiny 2, baby!
Destiny 2.
Also, though, The Blacklist, that's really good. The 7th season just came on Netflix. I just found that out last night. So this week, that's definitely what I'm going to be watching. Right. James is great. If you don't like him, well, then you just don't like good people.
All right. I guess, well, I just got Marvel's The Avengers for my PS4.
Yes.
Awesome. So, I played it, beat it. It was a good game.
It's a good game. I mean, my biggest complaint, which is my complaint with a lot of like games, is just the story wasn't long enough.
Yeah.
But and then on the watching side, it's been a while since I finished it, but Cobra Kai on Netflix.
Oh, yes, I wanted to watch that.
The first two seasons originally premiered on YouTube Premium, but Netflix has the rights now, so they moved the seasons over there, and they're about to make a third season. I will say the season two finale is one of the best like action fight scenes I've ever seen. Like from like a simple non super powered.
Yeah.
Like school, because it's a school setting.
Interesting. In this
fight, but it's just one of the best I've seen for, like, for a school fight.
So,
in terms of action.
You've heard it here, Tanner Perkins, Cobra Kai. All right, yeah. Wow. Yeah, I've been looking.
And I love the Karate Kid movies, so it's like a good sequel.
I have not watched all the Karate Kid movies. I've only seen the reboot with Jackie Chan and Jaden Smith.
Well, you should watch the original trilogy before
I will watch that, and then I'll watch Cobra Kai.
I mean, Jackie Chan's always a win, but
that movie was not,
no.
I liked it at the time, but I was a kid, so I don't know. what did I know?
My dad introduced me to the original Karate Kid before it came out, so that's why.
That's
not a win for me.
Yeah, probably why. So for watching wise, I just got done watching The Legend of Korra, and
I have that on my watch list.
Yes. While I will say that it doesn't compare to the Avatar The Last Airbender finale, I think that the last two seasons were definitely its strongest, and it's definitely worth watching, especially for people that are into that world or people that maybe just want a different spin on that world. So definitely, if you have not checked out The Legend of Korra, or if you've only watched the first season, stick with it. It gets really good.
That's good.
Yeah.
I enjoyed the first season.
Yeah. I still need to watch I'm on season 3 of Avatar.
Oh, dude. You gotta get going.
Well, that's the last season, so you're almost there, man.
I know. I've had other stuff to do. Gosh!
Listen. It's okay.
Now the Blacklist is back, so I gotta have to balance my watch times.
Alright. Well, yeah. So there's The Legend of Korra. And then reading-wise, I just read, or I actually reread the first volume of Miss Marvel No Normal, which we are reading for the Comics Crunch Club, which is related to Nerds Polished Turds through my brand, Cardigan Comics. So if you're not a part of that, you can find us on Facebook, and that's Comics with an X, Crunch Club. So that is our reading for this month. And then in addition to that, I just started reading Rick and Morty versus Dungeons and Dragons, the comic book series. And it's actually, for someone that hasn't traditionally been into D&D, it's helping make the world make it a little more sensible to me. So if you want to a way to easily get into that while also having that fun Rick and Morty banter, that I definitely recommend that comic. It feels like the show brought to life, and it's like they are introducing me to the world of D&D. So a nice way to get into that. But yeah. Well, thanks guys for joining me again for another Nerds Polished Turds. Next month is October, so we're definitely going to be doing something spooky and or spooky related. So look forward to that on the horizon. And remember, mutant and proud. Okay, goodbye.